good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The CSO Platform for Reform, which is a collective of over 60 civil society organizations in Malaysia, they recently released a report on the first 100 days of the unity government. Now, this report is an observational analysis on four core reforms in the areas of governance, leadership, institutions, parliament and state legislative assemblies, and key law and policies. So joining me on the show to discuss this report, we have Gerald Joseph. He is the chair of the CSO Platform for Reform. Gerald, welcome to the show. It's good of you to join me. This 100 days in office, I wanted to ask you about that because it is an American construct. And if you break it down, it's not a long period of time. But it's often used as a benchmark for, you know, when we enter a new job, it's our three-month probation period. But when it comes to reform, progress on institutional reforms, do you think 100 days is a fair time period to assess an administration's progress, particularly if you think about the Malaysian context, coming out of 60 years of single coalition rule?
Thanks, Melissa, for this invitation. I think 100 days is too short. Even if we get a job, we will be trembling on how to impress the bosses in 100 days. But this is a nation. So I think it's never fair to put a hard report on 100 day. But I think what it can give us is hints, directions, and what's the kind of commitment the framework for this government to be. So I think in that sense, 100 days is not for them to learn. It's not a reading period.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
Because it's you're working on the ground. From day one, you've dived in to a flood area, the crisis of children, detention. So it is real work. No government ever takes a break for you to study.
Right. So what you're saying is there shouldn't need to be a grace period. I take your point because I looked at your report and it said the first 100 days of any new government sets the tone for what the public can expect. So you look at it as in terms of commitment. So this report on the unity government, did you do like previous reports? So is it just, my question, is it just that the Pakatan Harapan government is being held to standards of reform, higher standards of reform compared to other previous governments?
No, we actually did the 22 months, the 17 months, and the 100 day, you know?
Okay.
So the PH first round.
22 months?
Yeah. And then the 17 months, I think, of was it Muhyiddin's government, I forget the numbers, but we did attempt to have an evaluation every time one government ends.
So you had the 100 days of the first PH administration.
Honestly speaking, we had the end of the 22 months,
22
end
months.
Of the 17.
I see.
And then this 100 days was our first attempt. And I think the first attempt, we also had 100 day of the Ismail Sabri's government.
Okay.
At the end of the 17 months of Muhyiddin. All in the spirit of trying to track whatever they've said in their speeches to see whether it's happening on the ground. So our framework for reform actually dates back to 2018. So you're right in that sense, when 2018 came, post 60 years, we thought enough of this standing outside and shouting and screaming. I think we still need to do that. But we are ready to get in to make sure the reforms last long and change dramatically deep. So that's why the game plan was that framework for reform. And that framework for reform actually, well, many people say is a PH manifesto, but I would predate it to even 30 years before where the civil society has been pushing memorandums to every minister, demonstration on the Bakun, on inclusiveness of Orang Asli land. All this culminated in what we call the institutional reform. Mm-hmm. I think now we are a bit excited that Minister Azalina said that they are thinking of releasing the IRC, the Institutional Reform Committee report.
Right.
Which makes sense because all of us actually prepared so many reports and sent it to that committee. Was it in Wisma Ilham?
Yes, the Council of Eminent Persons. Right. Can I ask you about that? So there were reports that were submitted to this Committee of Institutional Reforms. I looked at the list. There's everything from reform of GLC, task force, a report on reform of Islamic institutions, on repressive laws. So it really kind of covers the gamut, which speaks to me the fact that actually we know the reforms that are needed.
Right.
It's just a matter of putting political will behind them.
True. The how and the what is needed and the when.
Oh.
So our question is, the when always disappears. What is needed is a speech we've heard too often. You know, we promise,
that's
the government
right. needs. We know what is
yeah,
needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they never tell us that it's going to happen in 3 or 4 months. So I'm great. I always clap. Okay, thank you for a good speech. But just tell me a deadline. I'm happy. We'll work with you, you know. So for example, they announced children, no more children in detention. I think we've heard this before. Minister Saifuddin said, children in immigration detention is not supposed to happen. We are moving. But I've heard this speech in 2018. I've heard this speech in subsequent home ministers. And the homes have been so-called trained. Two NGOs have volunteered, being developed. Frameworks have been made. But nobody's just giving the key to let's do it. You know,
right.
So,
there are still children in detention.
1,000+. Numbers were given in Parliament, no? So that it's long overdue. Mm. And I'm always afraid that it's a repeat of we agree with the reform, but when to do it, how to do it, and the other element is the courage to do it.
Okay. All right. Can I ask you, coming back very quickly to the Committee of Institutional Reforms, that report. So you said there's been indication that they're going to make that report public.
Mm.
Why would reports on institutional reform be made secret in the first place?
Okay, so I think this is why we were surprised, and I think the committee itself looked surprised. They thought they had done such great work.
I mean, I would be so devastated if my hard work was classified a secret. Nobody would be able to read it
so
or use it.
So this is a thick report. I was in a committee on the Independent Committee for Migration and Migrant Labour.
Oh, okay.
And even our report of 11 persons, led by Dato' Sri Shamuddin, even that report is still embargoed somewhere.
What's sensitive about it, Gerald? What's sensitive about reports on reform?
I think because the gamut of issues would include issues of ethnicity, race, religion. But I think the nation needs to go through these difficult areas. The more we said we don't want to talk about it and, okay, it's not time. Is actually giving it oxygen for these issues to grow.
Mm.
And that's why I think we've missed many good opportunities. And this is where the painful part, a political mature nation would actually take a step to say, okay, this is going to be difficult. It's a difficult conversation. How do we navigate this issue of student scholarship, no? Or Bumiputra status? Oh, you know, it's too sensitive. But the point is that we need to have a conversation, and Malaysians have grown. We know what is needed. I mean, we are mature. We know the poor needs help. People who are marginalized need help. And you get full support for that. But to study the matter is not sensitive. To talk about the matter is not sensitive. The decision to reform it would need some political will and some maturity and courage. I think many governments have always said they want to do it, but then finally they lose the battle to stand up against those that exploit the reformists.
Okay, yeah. All right. You said the first 100 days sets the tone. It indicates a government's commitment, and you're absolutely right about, we've heard some of these speeches before. Anwar Ibrahim, has been very on brand, on message, about with his reformist credentials, talking about saying all the right things about the need for institutional reform. But how can we track if it's more than just lip service, if it's more than words? What has the CSO Platform for Reform noted concrete progress of reforms?
So I think how we've organized ourselves, because it's a big job, you
yes.
know. You probably need one university to track a reform of any government.
I would sign up to that university.
So we've organized ourselves into 4 areas of focus, mm-hmm. what we call the umbrella clusters. So there's one group that focuses on parliament and state legislative reform, because we think that Parliament needs to be reformed. We've met the Speaker. The platform has met the Speaker. And Speaker, he's used one word that has stuck in my mind. He says, "Saya mau merakyatkan Parliament." I want to make the Parliament a Parliament of the people. Mm. Brilliant. It means that we are not locked out. We should be called in. We should be engaging. So I think the spirit is there. I think they've spoken about the Parliament Services Act to be amended. So there are many works have started inside, which I believe, I take it in good faith that it has started.
Okay.
But my point is, we have said there's so many stakeholders who have already ready to partner, set up this this task force or teams, and include all stakeholders that may even have a critical voice of your government. I think that's the way to move forward.
Yep.
But usually we hear a speech, then we say it's being cooked up at the back. Mm. And then when by the time it comes out, it may be already a draft legislation.
That's interesting. I was wondering about that, because reforms, if you're monitoring reforms, tracking reforms and the accountability for reforms, are there invisible parts of reforms? Reforms that happen behind closed doors, and what is the danger of that?
So I think the mechanism of government reform system for either policy or law, it's very closed door and very secretive.
Okay.
And this, I don't know, maybe inheritance of the last 60 years or even the British period, you know, where everything is secrets because of the office secret.
Not consultative, not engaging.
So they said, no, we take your point, but let us discuss. So I found that there are moments where you need to sit among your peers, but most of the moments should be sitting down with experts. Mm. Why wouldn't you want civil society experts? Why wouldn't you want academic experts, corporate experts, even the opposition experts to sit with you? Because you want this bill to be the best, or you want this policy to be the best before it comes to public scrutiny, you know?
Right.
And if you're doing it, and we are seeing it for the first time at Parliament or when the Prime Minister makes announcement, that's when we are going to criticize it. We never had a chance to see the bill. So I think it's a framework for we will do it because we know how government works. And I think because of my experience in Sohakam before, we were also at that time asking for a space to sit on these tables for close to a negotiation. I take it that if you join a committee, even civil society, you are not going to go out there and shout, yay, you know. You have to abide to some protocols. And everyone is ready to abide by the protocol. But you never get invited to sit inside. So by the time you see the draft bill, it may be flawed and it may be embarrassing to the government of the day. So I say, why not bring this loud mouths inside? And so we sharpen that particular policy or tool for public, and it probably is more ready than less.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Pakatan Harapan government, while in Pakatan Harapan when in opposition, had, you know, good relations, close ties with a lot of activists, a lot of civil society organizations. Now that they are in Putrajaya, wouldn't that make it easier for real consultation, real engagement to happen? Wouldn't you have friends in high places now?
So I think we remain to have friends in high places, also in the first round, 2018. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that in 2018, they opened up many processes. To give you, I always laugh at this example, because Home Ministry had a task force or a committee on SOSMA review, and Swaram was a committee member. Swaram is the one that normally protests against KDN, so and they're invited to sit in, and that's brilliant, and that's how it should be, you know. People who have sat on opposite ends in being invited. So I think in 2018 there were many more committees launched, task force with civil society as part of them. But in this first 100 days, as we are giving it time to percolate, not so many of these have started. You know, we have requested, we've met the Law Minister, Deputy Law Minister and Speaker, but we don't know the existence of all the small task force and committees. And I think that's why the announcement, we take it in good faith. It must have been started, but we are not feeling it or holding anything. You know, so like Prime Minister Anwar says, cancelling all GLC appointments, very clear, it happened. Procurement through open tender. Great, but have us a framework. I'm not an expert, but I know people who are expert, and they should be sitting there with whoever is drafting or rethinking, so we don't repeat mistakes, you know. Azalina's, Minister Azalina has now set up, well, it's called the Law and Institutional Reform Ministry, you know. It's like sits well with the CSO platform for institutional reform. So you know, it wants to separate the judiciary, AGC and public prosecutor. So, which is a great announcement.
Yeah.
Prime Minister has said no interference in court cases, which is brilliant. Increasing more judges in Sabah Sarawak, which is needed. Announcement of the new Children's Commissioner towards an independent Children's Commission, separate from Suhakam. All good, but again, timeline. Again, right. Who's in it?
The how, when, and
yeah. So who's in it, crafting it? So why don't you already have minds and announce who is in it? It's so much easier rather than you do this in secrecy.
Okay, so the role of CSO experts, because again, sometimes government thinks that they are the sole repository of knowledge about something.
Yeah.
The role of CSO experts, of community groups who are on the ground, how can the engagement be more than just a checklist? Sometimes it goes, okay, let's do a stakeholder engagement, and then you're kind of invited for a cursory one-day engagement over a really complex issue. Is it territorial? Is it about guarding one's territory that prohibits real engagement with CSO experts who have decades of experience working in this?
So I think it's a false notion that because we sit with you and you've told us that a good law needs 10 amendments, and finally I can only do 5. I think we are realistic enough to know.
Are the CSOs realistic, or do the CSOs tend to make things more difficult for a government that needs to be pragmatic?
So I think CSOs will set out the standards according to international norms, you know, so like detention without trial,
right.
You know, so we say that's no. Then the government will come back and say, but there are cases where you need to, you know, so maybe suspected terrorists, you know. So what are the safeguards in case you need this? Through law, can this person have access to court? So you see, the conversation is not, we are saying, no, you cannot detain, but what's the conversation? What is the standards utilized for that? So I think our principle is no detention without trial, but if you need to detain them without trial, do they have their rights still intact? Can they go to a court of law if they feel there's an abuse of power, or are they just locked up, you know? So this check and balance, I think, needs to be nuanced, and there are examples in many countries, of course, the UN. So I think that's where CSOs would contribute. You're right, we start off with a long list. Yeah,
and then you compromise.
That's our 2018 list, and I think now in 2023, we want things to also move forward. So we are on track, on line with this government and this mix of unity government.
Can we zoom in on the Home Ministry,
sure.
Which is a key ministry that focuses, you know, a lot of institutional reforms involves the Home Ministry. What's your gauge of the commitment of the Home Ministry beyond just speeches and comments?
Yeah. So I think the first good news is that citizenship law will be amended, and that's many ministries, including the Home. They've been holding on to it for a long time, you know, the Children Board of Overseas.
Malaysian Mothers Born Overseas.
So that is like, we've heard it, and we're waiting for it to come, you know, it's like, hey, you can do it, no? The others that we've, immigration detention, I think there was a report when Home Minister came in Sabah, there was some picture or video of frail-looking detainees in the Kimanis. And then he made a comment saying, no, I checked, and it's actually they are already weak when they came in. No, I mean, these are the kind of things that we've heard repeated from the officers around you. Mm-hmm. I expect the minister to be advised by his officers.
Mm-hmm.
But I also expect the minister to know this has been business for the last few decades. Immigration needs reform. Immigration detention centers is like a black hole, because none of us can go in.
What is the role of the civil service? Because again, it's not just, you know, one man or woman at the top leading a ministry. It's the ministry as
correct,
a whole.
Yeah. So the appointment of his or her minister, the minister's lieutenants, those are the important appointments, and that's why we've asked for an independent, transparent manner of appointment of those in leadership positions. So it starts from GLC, even the director generals, because we don't know what's their competency test, you know. Suddenly you get an announcement, this person is the director. So is this person fair? If you're so confident this person is right, then tell us, was there three or four? Have a more open process that happens. So I think the director generals are the lieutenants, and they follow practice, they follow a mechanism within that needs to be renewed and refreshed, and that's why we have political change. The ministerial powers, the leadership of a minister is actually to bring in new, fresh breath into an old system. But I think in Cadian, I'm not seeing it yet. Mm-hmm. The minister is probably new, being appraised, but he needs to go in to know that these practices predates not just our independence, but like the prison is 233 years old this year.
Wow. That is, I mean, archaic. It is underselling it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when we think about beyond 100 days, so if this government, is full term, 5 years is full term, what would then be feasibly accomplished during this period? It comes back to the when, right? Again, with all conversations about progress on reforms, is stymied by the fact that there's state elections coming up in a few months.
How do we
think about that and balance what are real political considerations versus a public that's very impatient to see progress on reforms?
An impatient public, I think, was more impatient in 2018.
Okay. slightly more patient this time around.
Yeah, we fell hard because of that Sheraton move. And I think everybody wants change, but they're watching to make sure that the little they have is not lost. So I think this government, and you're right, I think my own personal view, the next few months, that political space will grow.
Do you think because of the political sensitivities over state elections, that those hard decisions will be postponed?
That's my reading, that small steps, small blocks are put into space, but let's get the political gameplay out of the window, and then we can get political governance back on track. So I think the indication should be right, no compromise on principles, on standards. So if the next 5 years, I mean post this few more months of state elections, I would think Anwar Ibrahim's loud call for corruption will continue. And that must continue, but it must be seen in actual institutional changes. Number one, the independence of the MACC, the appointment of the KP, the Director General.
Those are the big ones, right? That will reinstill confidence.
You change that, suddenly you see a different face and power feel. So that needs to be institutionalized, because we don't want goodwill of good government leaders to do good.
Yep.
I mean, we clap, but it's a small clap, because the next government that comes
it needs to
it'll change again. We don't want to be subject. We are the whims and fancy of a person and say, please. No, we shouldn't be, you know. You do it for the next generation. Institutionalized change for the next generation. So, independent commission on children, the new setup, that will be long term. That's brilliant. So, law reform. Why are we still having Printing Presses Act? Why are we still getting stuck with this movie, Mentega movie? I haven't watched it, but the title is tasty. But
Mentega, yes. I mean, but it comes back to the same kind of repressive laws of censorship and akta sakit hati kind of laws.
The legacy is still troubling anybody, even the most good-hearted, goodwill person doesn't know what to do, because these shadows can repress, you know. So that is happening. The Women's March.
Right.
Suddenly you're getting their call. They're calling, a 2 hour.
On that note, can the opposition largely derail any kind of progress on reform?
Definitely, the opposition had great derailment plan in the first round in 2018, the anti-ICED rally. So the gameplay of race and religion is already starting again, and I think one MP was called out by the speaker, you know, trying to make sensationalize the Women's March to call it an LGBT march. I was so happy that the speaker used such power and strength to call him out. I think that's a good way. you call out this half truth, half lies, and so you stop this gameplay. But race and religion is again going to be used to derail good works in the future. And I think that's a worry, because we saw that in first round, and I think it's going to happen again. And I think just now this morning, I think Anwar Ibrahim said it's taking a stern stand on enough of racism play, and you know. But what does that mean again?
Right.
The National Harmony Commission bill that was being worked in 2018 has disappeared in the last two governments.
Yes.
But this government, the National Unity Minister, has never even uttered that I'm going to relook. Mm. We need something a bit more institutional to handle this kind of gameplay, but it's none. Mm. It's now, well, you say then the police will check, and then, you know. So
it's the same old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we have to be vigilant about that. Gerald, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Appreciate your time to discuss the report by the CSO Platform for Reform. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.